I think I may have said that after Romans we were going to go to the Gospel of John, and that is true, but it'll be a little bit further away than I had originally intended. I would like to take the next whatever number of Sundays to work through some contrasting character qualities, ways of thinking, ways of behaving, and contrasting situations. And the goal is to talk about each side of the contrast in a way that shows what to put off, what to put on, what to guard against, what to encourage, nurture, feed. My hope is that this will help us apply practical truths to these various areas of our lives, and in so doing, help us grow further in godliness. So I have currently a list of 9 things that we will look at. I won't guarantee it'll stay exactly this way, but this is the intent. I won't add a bunch. I'm not implying that. But I want to talk about those who are patient and those who are impatient. Those who are healthy and those who are sickly, who endure a lot of sickness. Those who fear God's punishment and therefore live godly. And those who despise God's punishment and go on rebelling against God. Those who are humble and those who are proud. Those who are often in conflict with someone and those who live in peace. Those who sow discord and division, and those who make peace. Those whose lives are going according to their wishes, everything seems pretty good. And those whose lives are more like Job's during his time of tribulation. Those who weep over their sins, yet continue to practice them. And those who don't weep, yet make a commendable effort to put an end to the sins that they have practiced. And those who commit very small but frequent sins, and those who avoid the small sins yet on occasion commit the more grievous sins. So that's the idea of where I want to take us. And see if we can learn some things from that. Today I would like us to look at those who are patient and those who are impatient. And I have some scriptures that I want to read, 4 to be exact. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, just part of that verse, love is patient. Love is kind. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 13. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Psalm 37, 7 to 9. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. And James 1, 19 and 20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve, that is, the anger of man does not succeed in accomplishing the righteousness of God. Let's pray, and then we'll look at the impatient and the patient. Father God, surely you know our weaknesses and our strengths. You know what we're easily tempted to and where we're strong. Speak to us today so that we would go further down that path of righteousness. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to begin by considering those who are impatient, be they frequently impatient or only occasionally impatient. So that may apply to at least most of us. When we as Christians are impatient, we are neglecting the God-given qualities of self-discipline and self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit, and the God-given quality of love, which, according to the scripture I just read, is patient. And I'm confident that you have enough experience with life to see how the neglect of these godly qualities opens the door or makes it easy for us to be impatient. And then how impatience, as Psalm 37 says, leads to evil doing. And so I want to encourage each of us, including those who are younger here today, to pursue these godly qualities, the qualities of self-discipline, love, and self-control, so that you will have the spiritual mindset and the strength and the grace to remain patient in the face of challenging people and circumstances. Now, though we open the door to impatience by neglecting all three of these godly qualities, I want to take a moment and just focus on the neglect of self-discipline in thought, word, and deed, and the effect of this neglect on impatience. When tempted to impatience, one of the most significant problems of neglecting self-discipline in thought is that you stop using God's word as the deciding factor in what and how you are to think. So let me say that once more. When tempted to impatience, one of the most significant problems that arises from neglecting self-discipline in thought is that you stop using God's word as the deciding factor in what and how you are to think. And instead of using God's word, your tendency is to hand over that decision-making power to your emotions. You feel something and you feel it strong. And those emotions have been stirred to the level of poor judgment by the situation that is tempting you toward impatience. And once poor judgment becomes your basis for decision-making, you easily move toward such ungodly things as distrust of God. You won't wait patiently for Him to act in the situation. It leads to other ungodly things like fretting, anxiety, anger, and attempting to control other people, which of course are all manifestations of impatience. In a similar way, neglecting self-discipline in word sets aside godly thinking as the deciding factor in what and how you speak. And that allows your decision-making power to become your agitated emotions. And this is why, in times of impatience, we so easily say things in unloving, unkind, derogatory, angry, and sometimes even abusive ways. Of course, the failure of godly self-discipline when impatient also shows up in unloving and sinful actions. And that happens even though our Christian knowledge and sensibilities know beforehand, going into that situation, or if we're observing somebody else doing the same kind of things, we know they're doing what is wrong. We know we are doing what is wrong. But, sad to say, and due to the heat of our impatience, we are too often unaware of or insensitive to how badly we are acting when we are impatient. And beyond that, it's all too common to move on with life as if we have done nothing wrong. To not really turn around and look back and see our moment or moments of impatience and how we have done what is ungodly during that time. And all of this due to the simple neglect of self-discipline. Beyond the problem of neglecting self-discipline is the common weakness of accepting impatience as a normal part of life, rather than as an evil brought into our world by the devil and perpetuated by our own selfish, sinful, and undisciplined selves. The problem here is that once we accept impatience as a normal response to certain situations, we all too easily remain unconcerned about the harm we have done to our own character, to our own spiritual development, and to those who have had to endure our impatience. And so my encouragement to you is to see impatience as an evil, not to be accepted, but to be run away from. But it is an evil that doesn't stand alone. It doesn't stand by itself. It opens the door to other evils. And so if you will keep that door closed, you will not only avoid impatience, but also its accompanying evils. Next, I want us to consider the problem of our emotions when we are impatient. Because the emotions of impatience not only prevent us from being sensitive to our ungodly thinking, words, and deeds, they also get in the way of seeing what we are doing during times of impatience, or looking back at how badly we have behaved after having been impatient. And I say that the emotions of impatience are often pointed to, at least afterwards, as the justifying reason for being impatient, and as the justifying reason for saying things we shouldn't say or doing things we shouldn't do. But by doing this, we excuse ourselves from taking responsibility for our impatience. Let me give you an example. It's probable most of us have said, "I was so frustrated," as our explanation for why we were impatient. Or, "He made me so mad," or "She made me so mad." Or, "If I hadn't done something, it would never have gotten done." My point is that if we are not careful with our emotions, and especially the emotions that revolve around impatience, then we very easily justify our behavior by those emotions. But here's where we need to think this out, because the emotions of impatience always set aside love. And love is the guardian virtue of all godliness. What are the two great commandments? What did Paul say in Romans chapter 15? Love fulfills the whole law. It is the guardian virtue of all godliness, and that includes patience. As we read early in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. And so to overcome the propensity for self-deception and irrational thinking that our emotions promote when we are impatient, my encouragement is cling to God's word. Keep using the word of God as your measuring stick, your standard for how to behave in any given situation, and in this case, especially when tempted to impatience. Impatience not only stands in the way of self-discipline and feeds dishonesty about the sinfulness of our impatient behavior, but your impatience, my impatience, reveals how much credence we are giving to what God's word says about God himself, about how much you trust God to provide for you and protect you, and to work all things out for your good. And impatience also reveals how willing you are to wait on God to act. In other words, the frequency of your impatience is an indication of the amount of Bible teaching about God and patience that you disregard. And I hope by now that most of us know we cannot disregard specific Bible truths without hardening our heart and dulling our conscience against those truths. And when we harden our heart and dull our conscience against those truths then lose their power to convict us and direct us and prevent us from going astray. And it's for this reason that we read in Proverbs 28:14 these words, "How blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity." One of the early church fathers put it this way, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we fear the Lord, we keep the commandments. When we keep the commandments, we walk in righteousness. When we walk in righteousness, we have right thinking, we have right attitudes, we have right words, and we have right behavior." To lose that fear, to lose the word of God as our measuring stick, to neglect holding God in the highest esteem possible, to set aside what the Bible teaches about patience and impatience, this is to harden our hearts and leads us to fall into calamity. And Proverbs 14:29, just to add to that, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding." Not just great information or great knowledge, but great understanding. "But he who is quick-tempered exalts or glorifies or treasures or values folly." I want to address for a few moments a specific form of impatience that you may not think about, but it is common among humanity. And that is impatience with being repeatedly looked down on, put down, disrespected, or treated as worthless. My brothers and I used to treat each other this way. It wasn't a game. It was our way of attacking each other and, I suppose, lifting ourselves up. We didn't do it all the time. And when we did it at the dinner table, we were told to stop. But we did. We put each other down. We showed disrespect for each other. Occasionally, we treated each other as worthless. This is not an uncommon problem in the world. But when you have endured some measure of this, your tendency is to grow impatient with it. I do want to be clear that such treatment, especially when repeated over and over, is hard to hear. It's hurtful. It's unkind. Sometimes it's even just plain cruel. And there is no question that those who are treating you in this way are doing something wrong. So I want to be clear about that and then add, however. However, in our growing impatience with such ill treatment, we commonly move toward responding in ungodly ways. For example, we tend to return evil for evil, put down for put down, and cruel words for cruel words. And we do that in spite of the fact that God's word strictly forbids returning evil for evil or taking our own revenge, Romans 12. And why does the Bible forbid this? Just to stop this kind of thing from going on so only one person commits it and the other person stops it by not responding? Well, I suppose that helps. But when we return evil for evil, when we return put down for put down and cruel words for cruel words, it pulls us into the thoughts and behaviors that are just as ungodly as the unkind words that are being hurled at us. Sometimes when we grow impatient with this kind of ill treatment, our response is to defend our honor by showing that we are superior in some way to the one attacking us. I can do this, but you can't. Or, I suppose you may not have heard this, but growing up we heard this, your mother wears combat boots. You would come back with something that would lower them and raise you up. However, let me ask you this question. Can you show yourself superior without taking on pride or an attitude of arrogance toward the one that's putting you down? And the answer is no, you can't. And so I want to encourage each of us to memorize, meditate on, and make it our aim to live according to Peter's words about this kind of ill treatment. And why Peter's words? Because he pointed to Jesus Christ as the premier example of remaining quietly patient, humble, and godly in the face of being looked down on, put down, disrespected, falsely accused, and treated as worthless. And so we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, that while being reviled, Jesus did not revile in return, but kept entrusting himself to God who judges righteously. Now, I do want to be fair because it is true that following Christ's example requires patience and humility. It requires listening to things or being treated in ways that are unpleasant, unkind, hurtful. But we do not want to respond to evil with evil. And I remind you of Paul's words, who went beyond that and said, we are not to be overcome by evil so as to respond to evil by doing evil, but we are to overcome evil with good, so as to do what is godly and good in the face of evil. Rather than multiplying evil, we are to oppose evil with doing what is good. Romans 12, verse 21. And so I want to encourage each of us, when tempted toward impatience in the face of unkind words or unjust criticism, I encourage you to remain humble. Remain outwardly calm. You know, guard what your face looks like. Keep your body language calm. Remain inwardly peaceful. Put your life in God's hands. Trust Him to care for you. Cling to love. Don't abandon the standard of love. Doesn't matter how unloving you're being treated. And trust God that He knows your true worth and that He will raise you up at His chosen time and place. And beyond that, James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 is still true. God will wisely use these momentary hard times for our spiritual development. Beyond that, I want to point out that impatience damages reputations. For example, people know you're a believer. They know you're a Christian. And when you become impatient and you demonstrate that through body language, words, deeds, you dishonor God's name. You tarnish the reputation of a church, of the church as a whole. You damage whatever good reputation you have gained through identifying yourself with the Christian and with Christianity and by trying to live a godly life. So indeed, impatience damages reputations. It makes God, the church, and you look worse, not better, in the eyes of those who observe your impatient behavior. And the last thing that I want to remind you of in terms of impatience is that impatience comes from within, not from the circumstances or people without. To be impatient is to lose the battle for godliness with your flesh, your emotions, and your mind. Impatience means you have given in to the power of your fears, your selfish or unrealistic expectations, your frustrations and your anger. That means you have forsaken the power of God's word, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and self-discipline as well as self-control. And this is why the scripture says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city." Proverbs 16:32. Solomon's point is that it takes more preparation, more determination, more perseverance, and more power to control your frustration and anger and the resulting impatience. It takes more of all of that to remain patient than to capture a well-fortified, skillfully defended city. And why is the one so much harder than the other? Well, conquering a city only requires defeating and subduing that which is outside yourself. While conquering impatience requires defeating and subduing that which is within. And if you haven't discovered this yet, the truth is, you will face no stronger or more formidable or more stubborn opponent than yourself. And so I do want to encourage, especially those who are still young, to start at this point in your life to defeat your anger and impatience. Because the longer you wait, the stronger your foe. And the sooner you start, the stronger you become in facing and conquering yourself. And with that, let's take a few minutes and look at the patient. There's a well-known saying that says, patience is a virtue. The Bible tells us that patience is one of God's character qualities, Romans 2:4, that it is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 and 23, that it is a manifestation of love, 1 Corinthians 13:4, and a manifestation of faith in God's care, provision, protection, and justice, Psalm 37, and patience is a manifestation of Christ-likeness, Ephesians 4, 1-3, Colossians 3, 12 and 13, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. Now what's important here is that we are patient both outside and inside. To be patient both outside and inside requires more than self-control, more than self-discipline. It requires the kind of faith that makes you confident you are safe in God's hands, regardless of the circumstances. And just as an aside, it is this confident faith that ultimately produces an inward peace that remains peaceful in spite of the circumstances. In addition, being patient both outside and inside requires compassion. A compassion that is based on knowing yourself, on knowing your own experiences, on realizing about yourself how hard it is to be good and how easy it is to do what you know is wrong. How easily we can become impatient with those who are failing to do what is good and doing what is wrong, while we ourselves know how hard it is to wrestle with ourselves, to stay on track, to be consistent in doing what is good and saying no to what is wrong. Being both outwardly and inwardly patient requires humility. It requires honesty with yourself about yourself and honesty with others about themselves and their behavior. It requires a calm acceptance of what you cannot change or control. And it requires a determined commitment to remain within the boundaries of godliness no matter what. Now, I do want to make it clear that we are never to confuse patience with an approving acceptance of wrongdoing. Patience with laziness or irresponsibility or deception or any other evil is not an approving acceptance of those things. It is patience with those things. And the point I want to get across is that though we are never to approve of sin or bad behavior, neither are we to be sinfully angry, vindictive, unkind, or unloving when dealing with those who are behaving badly. And being patient both outside and inside requires paying heed to the exhortation of Paul to the Corinthians. And I'm going to take this statement and apply it to patience. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, but cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7. And why not grudgingly or under compulsion, but cheerfully? Because in your patience, you not only want to be godly on the outside, but also godly on the inside, because God looks on the heart. If we are patient on the outside and bitter that we have to be on the inside, we've only gone half the distance to being patient. And God still sees what we are on the inside. So, if you're going to be committed to being patient, I want to encourage you to spend time thinking about and praying about and even seeking advice from others about ways to better love those you must bear with. It isn't always easy to work this out yourself. Getting help through prayer, God gives wisdom. He doesn't withhold. Through examining the scriptures, through seeking advice, through pondering, can help you find better ways to love those you must bear with. And the goal of this is not just to treat other people well, but it's to also grow in your patience so that your patience becomes like that of God's patience. Guard against growing tired of being patient, especially with certain people or situations that seem to test your patience. If you grow tired of being patient, then you will make room for feeling justified in responding in unkind or unnecessarily hurtful and sinful ways to those who are tempting you towards impatience. And once again, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love is patient, but it goes one step beyond that to include other things. So love is not only patient, it is kind. It is not provoked. It keeps no record of wrongs endured. And it never gives up. Finally, when faced with a situation that seems like it will never end, I suppose when you have children, you feel that way sometimes. And maybe at work or even in a marriage or other situations. When faced with a situation that seems like it will never end, my encouragement to you is to remember these words from Scripture. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And those are the words of Christ, Luke 6, 27 and 28. Do not grow weary of doing good. That's Paul, 2 Thessalonians 3:13. And finally, remember these words from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Consider him, that is Jesus Christ, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Remember day by day, situation by situation, if you have to, remember what Jesus Christ endured. Why do that? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing.